Now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. My name is Roland. I'm your host for this program. We call it Talk to a Pastor. It's also called the Ask Roland Show. I think you'll enjoy it. Let's begin today with an article from the newspaper USA Today. USA Today, front page article. They have an article entitled, Avoiding Lies Can Improve Health. And the article says, honesty may boost your health. Suggest a study that found telling fewer lies benefits people physically and mentally. Well, we knew that, didn't we? But it's nice to see that some research backs that up. Each week for 10 weeks, 110 people ages 18 to 71 took a lie detector test and completed health and relationship measures assessing the number of major and minor lies they told that week. Says lead author Anita Kelly, a psychology professor at the University of Notre Dame. She presented findings at the annual meeting of the American Psychological Association, which ended Sunday. When they went up in lies, their health went down, Kelly says. When their lies went down, their health improved. Researchers instructed half the participants to refrain from telling any lies for any reason to anyone. The other half got no such instructions. The link between less lying and improved health was significantly stronger for participants in the no-lie group when they told three fewer minor lies than in other weeks. For example, they had an average of four fewer mental health complaints, such as feeling tense or melancholy, and three fewer physical complaints, such as sore throats or headaches. Linda Stroh, a professor emeritus of organizational behavior at Loyola University in Chicago. Interesting, these are Catholic universities. Very nice. One thing I like about the Catholics is that they kind of go out there in the world and mix it up a little bit. They're not afraid to wear their religion on their shirt sleeve, so to speak, and kind of be out there in the world like that. Linda Stroh, a professor emeritus of organizational behavior at Loyola University in Chicago, says the findings are consistent with her research on trust. When you find that you don't lie, you have less stress, she said. Being very conflicted adds an inordinate amount of stress to your life. Well, that's very good. Let's look at that for just a moment. The benefits of being honest and not lying. She talked about being conflicted. See, that's the first thing. It's the first bad thing, is being conflicted. Now, we get conflicted for various reasons, and one of them is simply, it's just simply we have two different things that we could do, and we sort of want to do them both, and so we have conflict. Or there's something that we should do, but it would result in a loss for us, a loss of face, a loss of money, a loss of prestige, loss of power, loss of promotion, loss of money. Usually it's doing the right thing that results in that loss. And so we have a conflict. We're half-hearted about wanting to do the right thing because we don't want to lose. We want to benefit. And so we have conflict. But the thing about conflict, it causes stress. You know, they've done a lot of research with animals. And they found, for example, that mice get ulcers when they are in conflict situations or frustration situations. You know, they get ulcers. And so, let's talk about how to avoid that sort of dysfunctional conflict as soon as I come back.
Hello, this is Roland. Highlights from selected Common Sense programs are available at our website, commonsensecounseling.org. Click on Streaming Audio and you'll find programs by topic in Real Player or Windows Media format. Plus, listen to my lecture on how to stop hurting those you love and find links to all five of my blogs. It's all at commonsensecounseling.org.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. What does it say in the Bible? The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It seems as though we should be wholehearted in our commitment to truth, for example. Doesn't it say in the Bible, you should love the Lord your God with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself? And Jesus said somewhere, the lukewarm he will spit from his mouth, something like that. So, here's the situation. I'll just give you a classic example, or a simple example, a simple situation. Where you could be on, you could, you know, I'll have to make something up here. I'll make something up. You're selling something on Craigslist. And here come the people, and they ask you a question. And there's something that's not quite right about about what you're selling. They ask you the question about it, and now there's the conflict. Do you tell the truth and maybe lose the sale, or are you honest, about it? And if you're honest, you'll lose the sale. But if you lie and cover it up, then you'll probably make the sale. Well, of course, we're supposed to be honest. We're supposed to be honest and tell the truth. You may not lose the sale, and we all know you're better off being honest, because that way they know what they're getting and you feel good about it, and then they won't come back later and say that you sold them something that wasn't good, and so on and so forth. We all know that, but yet in that situation, another thing, you're somewhere and there's something happening and you should speak up about it. You know, we can't always speak up. Sometimes it's unwise. You know, you don't go in and chew the boss out over some minor thing while you're likely to get fired. But there are times when we should speak up. And what happens? What happens is we're afraid to speak up because we don't want to lose face. We don't want to rock the boat. We don't want to create unpleasantries. We don't want to be stressed by the opposition. We don't want to lose perks. See, we don't want to lose benefits. We don't want to lose, you know, you rub their back and they rub your back. So you don't rock the boat and you go along and you don't speak up. You see? And sometimes silence is just as bad as lying. Standing by with an eerie silence when you could say something. Well, then You didn't do the right thing, but you're going to have conflict. Now you're going to have conflict conscience. You're going to have conflict with your conscience. You knew that you should speak up, you see? So, it's pretty obvious to me that we should honor the truth. We should speak up when it's wise to do so. We should be honest with people and fair and have honest dealings and so on and so forth. Okay? So, here comes a little bit of conflict. You could tell the truth and be honest with people and rock the boat or lose a sale, or you could lie to them. You're better off being honest. Overcome that reluctance. Overcome that selfishness. It's a natural selfishness, you know. We're all born with it. You can overcome it by watching it and then doing the right thing. And you feel like you're going to lose. You feel like you're going to lose, but you won't lose because you gain character, you gain peace of mind, you maintain the respect of other people. See? Plus, God likes that sort of thing. He likes you to be honest and fair and honor the truth. So it's a win-win. You may lose a little selfish advantage. Once in a while you might lose a sale, Once in a while, you might even lose a friend if you're honest with them and they don't like your honesty, but what kind of a friend are they in the first place if they don't like honesty? You see what I mean? All right, so now you see a little bit of conflict is not a bad thing. Just see your own selfishness. Observe it. Observe that you want to take the easy way out, that you don't want to rock the boat, that you're a people pleaser. See all of those things. See that you're selfish and want selfish advantage. See the conflict. See, between what's right and selfish advantage. See it. Watch it. And then just go ahead and do the right thing. Okay, you'll be glad, because then you won't have conflict later. You won't have conflict later with conscience. Okay, and you'll have the respect of other people. And you'll have better health. See, I remember a long time ago when I was interested in human resources. This was when I was working for a corporation a long time ago, and I was studying human resources. And I went to a American Society for Training and Development meeting, and it was held at Holiday Inn on Van Ness Avenue, and there was a guy there named Will Schutz. He was the featured speaker. He had written a book called Joy. He was rather imposing figure at the time. His head was shaved bald. And he made a striking presence. But anyway, he talked about lying, why we shouldn't lie. He asked us all to put our hand over our heart. To just, put your hand right over your heart. And then say something that's a lie. He asked us, everyone in the audience, to try doing that. Or to turn to the person next to us and tell a lie. And then he asked us to if we noticed anything about how it felt. And a lot of us felt, I don't know how to describe it, but we felt a tightness in our chest or a missing of a heartbeat or a little racing of our heart or something. It affected our heart. Just telling a lie, not even a real important lie, but a pretend lie, even that was not good. So it's not good for you to lie. And now the research proves what we've known all along, and that is it's not good for your health. So I've talked about lying, and then I talked about conflict. I said you're better off having a little bit of conflict, or you're better off having a little bit of look, if you know what's right and somebody else is not doing what's right, and you point it out to them, you're going to have a little bit of conflict with them. I mean, of course, we have to use discretion. You know, I always have to mention that because somebody's listening to my program and they think, well, you know, if I've got to immediately rush in and tell the boss off and chew him out for. No, you don't have to do that. And you don't have to go sticking your nose in everybody else's business. And many times discretion is the better part of valor, and you have to be wise, and you don't want to stick your neck out unnecessarily. But in little matters, you know, especially with your family and friends and so on, it's good to be honest and speak up. I'll continue in a moment. Hello, this is Roland. One of the exciting things about the internet is there's such a thing as online counseling. They call it e-counseling, or counseling online. It's fast, affordable, and convenient. And I've taken it to a whole new level, online counseling with a pastor. Have you ever wanted to talk to a pastor? Do you have a question you'd like to ask a pastor, but you don't want the pastor to know who you are? Do you have issues? Mental health issues, emotional issues, family issues, relationship issues? And somehow you know deep down in your heart that there's a spiritual component to them? Somehow you know that psychology is nice, support groups are nice, theory is nice, but you'd like to talk to a pastor. Well, now you can. You can ask me a question by live chat, in other words, texting, you know, where you type a question and I answer, and then we have a dialogue back and forth using the keypad. You ask the question and I respond immediately with feedback, and then you give me feedback, and so on and so forth. It's like a texting conversation with a counselor. You can even text me from your Android or BlackBerry, your mobile device, you know. You can also talk to me by phone. You don't have to travel anywhere. You don't have to wait. You don't have to spend any gas. You save a lot of money, and you get solution strategies right away from the convenience of your home or office. To find out more, go to dearpastor.tk. It's surprisingly affordable, where most counselors charge $60 to $100 or more an hour or have lengthy, expensive intake. With me, you can be talking to me right away. In fact, often within 5 minutes, our dialogue is already opening up avenues for strategies for solutions. If you want more information about pastoral counseling online, right from the convenience of your home or office, go to dearpastor.tk. I look forward to hearing from you. Well, I'm back. Go to commonsensecounseling.org. That's our 24/7 self-help resource center. There you have links to all my blogs, or most of my blogs, or a lot of my blogs. You'll have the meditations. We have wonderful meditations. And the audio of this program, all the past programs. It's all there. It's all there at commonsensecounseling.org. So, as I was saying, you might have a little conflict with someone if you speak up. Speak up to your wife or your cousin or your mom or someone, you know, who something is not quite right, or they're being a little dishonest or something. You know, if you speak up about it, and then you'll have a little bit of conflict with them. Yes, but that's good. It's good for you to experience that little bit of conflict with them, because that way you learn to have character. You learn to be a man or a woman. You learn to stand up for what's right. See, you overcome your reluctance and speak up. And so it's good for you, and it's good for them too. It's good for them to encounter someone who tells the truth, not with meanness, not with anger, but simply tells the truth, like a little kid. Little kids tell the truth, see. A lot of times they tell the truth. But then it's easy for the adult to put down the child or confuse the child, see. But now you're a big boy now. You're a big gal or a big guy. You're not a little child anymore, so you speak up. They try to confuse you. They try to pretend it didn't happen, or they try to twist your words. They accuse you of this or that, and you just calmly stand there and let it all go in one ear and out the other, and you just reiterate your point, see? Don't get into an argument. Don't get into a no-win argument with them. Just calmly make your point and then take leave. See how simple? All right. So we talked about that article. Now I want to talk about something else, another article in the USA Today. Let's see if I can find it. It's on the editorial page. And it's about, it says, can faith help an Olympian? Well, it turns out, let's see if I can read some of this here. It says, yes, but just not in the way you might think. Now this, USA Today article is written by Tom Krettenmaker. It says, is it crazy for an Olympian to claim that God directs his training regimen? You'd think so from reactions to the much-publicized Christian piety of U.S. Olympic marathon contender Ryan Hall, his recent assertion in particular that God is his coach, commented one Huffington Post reader beneath an article on the role of faith in Hall's training in this Sunday's race, is hope Ryan gets the medication he needs. Well, see, that's the thing. Look, here's this nice person, this Ryan Hall, and he doesn't have a coach, see? Not all athletes have coaches, like Bubba Watson, for example. Bubba Watson recently won a big tournament. Was it the U.S. Open? I guess it was. I don't remember, but he won. He doesn't have a coach. Vijay Singh, the great golfer, doesn't have a coach. I'll be right back. Hello. Some of you have been listening for a while and like where I'm coming from.
You recognize the truth and are willing to admit you've made some mistakes. The next step is to make some positive changes in your life. A good place to start is with the meditation exercise. Most of us are too lost in our thinking. We plan, worry, and scheme. Then we act emotionally and usually make things worse. Instead of worrying and scheming, why not spend the time learning to be still and find the wisdom and a proper energy to move with? In other words, why not request our meditation exercise? It will help you get out of fixating problems and negative thinking. To request a copy of the meditation exercise, write, call, or email us. Or just pay us a visit at commonsensecounseling.org. You'll be glad you did. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the program, Talk to a Pastor. I was saying that not everybody has a coach. See, this coaching thing, I think it's overdone. I think too many people get caught up with coaches. You can become dependent on a coach, codependent on a coach, reliant on a coach so that you don't function yourself. Or a coach can be confusing. Coach can actually hurt you by subtly pressuring you or demeaning you or making you lose confidence. So see, if you become dependent on them, then he has a job or she has a job. See, the point is, not all athletes have coaches. I think coaching, you know, or piano teacher, that sort of thing, I think it's okay in moderation. Maybe for a little kid, it's good if the parent can be the coach. That's really good, especially if you're a patient parent. If you're not a patient parent, then, well, that's not good. You'll do more harm than good. If you're patient, you can be a wonderful coach. That's the way it's supposed to be. It's very nice if you can be a coach or a sporting. But, you know, a coach to help the child learn fundamentals, some very basic fundamentals. That's nice. And then maybe along the way, a little help here and there to help the child get to the next level, or the young person get to the next level. And when you're an adult, you know, if you're a master pianist, if you're a concert pianist, well, you know, at a certain point, you have to figure out how you're going to play the piece yourself. And it's nice to have another pair of ears to listen and maybe make a comment or two, but eventually you're going to have to be on your own, just like the mom and dad robin. Well, sooner or later they kick the bird out of the nest, not because mean, but they know the bird has to learn to fly. See how that works? So the point is, so here's this person, doesn't have a coach, and he says, God is my coach. Isn't that beautiful? Like you sometimes see the bumper sticker, God is my co-pilot, or God is my pilot. You know, it's beautiful. I love it. I love Christians that aren't afraid of, you know, being Christian. You know, I saw a family in a restaurant. I forget when it stuck in my mind. They sat down and they prayed right there in a restaurant. The whole family bowed their head and Dad said a prayer. Said grace. Just beautiful. And of course the people that hate Christianity, while they will gnash their teeth in hatred or derision. So here you have it, this nice young athlete here, this marathon runner. He says, I don't have a coach, and besides, God is my coach. Oh, it makes all of the hateful people gnash their teeth. Well, I say, good, let them gnash their teeth. Let them be so stressed out from gnashing their teeth that they get, TMJ syndrome in their teeth and, you know, get high blood pressure, as far as I'm concerned. Let them gnash their teeth. I think it's laudable that some of these athletes express their belief in God. Okay, so, you know, maybe they're not perfect. Maybe they make mistakes. Maybe some of them even have a more childlike belief in God.
You know, it's something they learned at home, and it's a cultural thing. Maybe. I'm saying maybe, not necessarily. It could be the real thing. But even if it's just a cultural thing, even if they're just going along and they want to be good, and that's how they try to be good, and it pleases their parents and so forth. Even if that's the case, well, fine. Let it be so. At least they have the courage to declare themselves to be Christians. It's a very laudable thing, in my opinion, and I welcome it. Well, this is Talk to a Pastor, and I'm just reading a couple of articles from the newspaper. And I do hope that you enjoyed them, because I certainly did. Today's kind of a lighthearted program, and it's nice to have a program like this once in a while. Please enjoy the music, and I shall be right back.
Most of us react emotionally to pressure. It's not so much the pressure that hurts us, but our emotional reaction. If you would like to learn the secret of remaining calm in the face of pressure, listen to a free introductory version of the meditation exercise at www.commonsensecounseling.org. While you're there, listen to my latest on relationships. It's all in the free download section. That's commonsensecounseling.org.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for joining me today. I'd like to close with a blessing, a very beautiful blessing I used to hear in church when I was a boy. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Well, please visit my website, www.commonsensecounseling.org, for all the wonderful, wonderful resources I have there. And until next time, Lord willing, and a creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. Please remember that Roland's program is listener supported. Thank you.